This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
News and views from the dole queues.
Fighting back against the poverty machine. Breadline is broadcast from the stolen unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people. The unfairness of the so-called welfare system disproportionately affects Indigenous people.
Down with mutual obligations.
Raise the rate. Fair and equal treatment for all.
Hello, my friends. You are now listening to Breadline, as the intro told you, the show of the Unemployed Workers Union, which exists in order to help us work collectively against the policies and institutions, private and public, which oppress us and help maintain our poverty while exploiting us and forcing us to do unpaid labour. We're going to have a special show today which will address those issues because as I mentioned last week, I was lucky enough to have an interview with one of our members from, Armidale. Armidale in way, way north up in New South Wales. Of course, if you're listening online, you might be listening from so-called Queensland. It might be way, way south. But anyway, just to let you know, this is a national union. And it will be really nice. I hope you will enjoy hearing the views of one of our members who's been organising activities up there. Who will introduce themselves in a minute. I just want to remind you also, as well as working for collective organisation and struggle on those things, the union does have an advocacy line, which is open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Mondays to Fridays, which if you're having problems, either as a getting unemployment benefits or as an unemployed person or with disability service, so-called disability services, there's a number that you can call our union in order, which will be discussed in this interview as well. Our interviewee also works on this advocacy line, which is 903-9811-7064. That's 03-9811-7064 or 1800-289-848. That's 1800-289-848. Or if you don't feel comfortable with that, you can email advocacy@auwu.org.au or visit our website, which is auwu.org.au. So with no further ado, Let's have a listen to the contents of the interview that I'm really happy to present to you today. So, welcome to Breadline on 3CR. It's really nice of you to come on the show. Do you mind just introducing yourself?
Yeah, my name is Pip Ryan and I live in Urala on Unknown Country, sort of near Armidale, regional New South Wales.
Okay, right. Were you born and bred up there?
No, I was born on the coast, not too far away.
Okay.
And then I moved to this area. Yeah.
Do you miss the sea?
Sometimes I do miss the sea.
Yeah, I like to be near the sea. So we're talking because you recently had a meeting in so-called Armidale. with other members of AUWU. What was the motivation for that, and what was that all about?
The motivation came from hearing stories of people doing volunteer work and work for the Doll Work. And cases where I would have thought they should be exempt to begin with. And I did work for the Doll many years ago and had my own bad experiences, so I don't see it as a valid thing. I do think we should abolish it, and not just work for the Doll, but all the unpaid labour that is, it's called voluntary, but it's not really, if it's under mutual obligation and people risk losing their payments if they don't do it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, so you know firsthand, unfortunately I do too, what this work for the Doll and the mutual obligations mean in practice. How did that motivate you to get involved with the AUWU? How did you find the AUWU?
So I sort of have to tell you the story of how I was radicalised, which slightly predates my involvement with the union. And yeah, that happened in Armidale, and it's always a process. But I do remember one moment where myself and like a couple of other women who were in their early 20s, we found ourselves sitting at a table, and this was at, it was like a pub, but it was sort of a collectively owned establishment in Armidale, and we were having pizza. And we, none of us came together, but we all ended up at this table. And I remember meeting a woman who had this aura of, like, I came here to dismantle the system, that kind of thing. So that was my, I'd met a comrade, basically. I met someone who I was really intrigued by, and they showed to me that they were like a dependable person if I should find myself struggling. And that was my introduction to knowing that there are people like this in the world, and there are ways of looking at the world.
So what she had to say really kind of, it resonated with you?
Yeah, it touched me. And shortly after that, I wanted to go to Melbourne. It was in the very early days when the union was just first formed, about 11 years ago, and I caught a train to Sydney, then a long, long bus trip.
Yeah.
And I went to Melbourne to be involved in some things, to hear some people speak at a conference and to go to some rallies. And I went to one of the first big rallies for the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. And there was a lot of energy and momentum at that time.
Yeah.
And I remember a journalist approaching me and asking me some questions and feeling passionate about the issues that I spoke about. And that was sort of like a sign that this is a thing I want to be involved in.
So yeah, so that's 11 years you've been involved in the struggle against oppression by the job network providers and Centrelink, etc.
Well, yeah, sort of. It sort of came in two separate waves. There was that first one, and then I did have a child, and there was a period where I was more involved with that, and then I sort of had another radicalising experience. And then I found myself being involved again with, like, even maybe more purpose behind what I was doing. It got rekindled through another experience that forced me to orient my politics a little bit. It forced me to look a bit inward and, yeah, orient myself rather than be always looking for others.
So what was it that got you interested in the politics of welfare?
Probably reading about welfare, and I decided to call myself a feminist welfare militant.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Feminist welfare militant. What does that... we know what being a militant is, we know what welfare is, but how would you define being a feminist welfare militant?
Well, I think that welfare relates a lot to what people who talk about social reproduction theory look at. And they're looking at the labour that goes into what creates the worker who's able to do the work under capitalism. And they say, like, don't... you can categorise these things differently. There's, like, the labour that creates commodity, and then there's, like, the social... the labour that, like, creates the worker, basically.
Right, so you're... there's commodified labour, selling yourself in a job.
Yeah.
But what you're talking about is social reproduction. It's having children, but it's also, like, caring for... these are all unpaid things. These are actually about love.
Some of it is... unpaid, and some of it is underpaid, certainly undervalued in capitalism.
Mm.
But also a lot of it is welfare. So, like, your education, your childcare when you're a child, certainly a lot of childcare is also just unpaid. Some of it might be paid but underpaid.
Yeah.
And then even your transport to get to work could be considered this social reproductive stuff. But it also could be considered welfare, because that is what welfare is, although I think our language around welfare has maybe changed slightly recently, where we want to talk about welfare as if it's not as necessary.
Right.
Like it's only it's a welfare payment. It's a thing received by a person, maybe a person who's sort of dispensable. But the people who talk about this theory point to a contradiction in capitalism, where capitalism needs that stuff, but it undervalues it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the caring for others, which is welfare, caring for children, caring for members of your people close to you, is not considered like proper, wasn't considered like proper work, which it should.
You're listening to 3CR 855 AM, the voice of the community.
3CR, community radio, giving the voice to the community since 1976.
Yes, on 3CR you're listening to the Breadline program, and I've just played the first section of part one of an interview with Pip, as you heard, who's got a very deep understanding, as I see it, of the broader meaning of our struggles and what welfare means and how it's been exploited. Our love for each other and our support for each other is being exploited economically by the state and capitalism. And I asked Pip if she would like to choose a song. And there's a band that Pip likes that's from Armidale, where she lives in northern New South Wales. They're called the Rocky Bottom Girls. And It's very nice. I like them a lot. Here's a song they do, which is called Nest of Leaves. Yes, that was the Rocky Bottom Girls with Nest of Leaves. They come from Armidale and were recommended to be heard by Pip, who is our interviewee today, and I'm very glad of it. But before we return to the interview, I just want to remind you of a little community service announcement regarding Centrelink legal support, which you might need to use if you're having problems with your Centrelink providers, etc.
Has Centrelink made a decision you disagree with? Most Centrelink decisions can be appealed up to 3 times. Examples of decisions you can appeal include whether you're eligible for a payment, cancellation or suspension of your payment, how much you get paid, and Centrelink debts. One of the most common Centrelink decisions appealed are Centrelink debts. Centrelink will say you owe a debt if the staff determine you've been paid more than you should have. Debts can occur for a variety of reasons. In some instances, if there's been an administrative error or if you have special circumstances, you may not have to repay that debt. The appeal process is free, but time limits can apply and will affect your entitlement to back payment. Social Security Rights Victoria is a specialist community legal centre providing Victorians free advice to help you understand your Centrelink issues and the appeal processes. You can contact Social Security Rights Victoria on 9481 0355 or online at ssrv.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
So there's some good information to keep in mind. And also remember, you can visit the Australian Unemployed Workers Union website, auwu.org.au, and you can find out the details which I gave earlier about our advocacy line, which also is there to support you. Now we're going to move back and hear the second part of the first part of the interview with Pip, which I'll be playing the second part of her interview on a future program. So keep your ears out for that and keep tuned in to 3CR, as well as all the other great shows on 3CR, of which you can visit, of course, at 3cr.org.au. Anyway, here we go, continue talking to Pip.
Bringing that back to more recently, was this also inspired by doing some, you were working on the advocacy line, or you have been working on the advocacy line?
Yeah, I've been working on the advocacy line maybe for the past year or so. And I like doing advocacy work, and I like being able to talk with people and hear their stories, because their stories are more than just the issue that they bring to the line, and sometimes they're quite distressed by the time they call up. Mm. And sometimes, because the system is constantly telling them things are their fault, it's good to have a talk with someone who can show you that these things are systemic and that their circumstances are not really their fault. But I guess that's what we're told a lot of the time, and
yep,
what the neoliberal hegemony is like telling us. You were talking about Ronald Reagan to me the other day.
Yep.
And I looked up his speech. It may be the one that you were referring to, where he talks about how volunteerism is necessary.
Yeah.
For free enterprise, like the free market.
Yeah.
And another thing he mentioned, he was addressing a event commemorating volunteers, like Volunteer Week or Volunteer Day or something like this, and he's telling them how wonderful they are, the volunteers. And he also mentioned this idea of an economy of love. Yeah. I felt like this was particularly insidious, because it's like tapping into our sense of solidarity for each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's exploiting people's solidarity for financial gain.
And if you look at what cultural hegemony does, it takes the political relations and makes some moral relations. And yep, you can see that in a lot of the ways these neoliberals talk. And so we've now had decades of hearing this sort of thing.
Mm.
And not only do we get convinced that things are out, like our circumstances are our own fault, but they've shifted the social responsibility from the state. So now they say, like, it's the community. It's like your responsibility to look after your neighbour.
Yeah.
And I also heard a speech where Thatcher said something about that. She said, like, we focus on her talking about the individual a lot, but she also said these things about looking after your neighbour, because they acknowledge that people have to be cared for, people are dependent upon each other. But then they shift this onto us and tell us this is our responsibility now.
Yeah.
We have to make our contribution. We have to be resilient communities. And when they say community responsibility, they mean like the charity NGO sector, which make their project possible.
Yeah. Can I just interject and say, the hypocrisy of it, these people like Thatcher, Reagan and their followers down to today, who go on and on and on about how the market is like perfect and so and meets social needs, etc., etc. But when it comes to like where people actually need welfare in the fullest sense of the word, they still rely on it.
They're trying to pay the least amount possible for welfare.
Yes.
So they have to convince us, manufacture like our consent to do that and make us feel responsible for what's happening.
Thank you very much, by the way, for that. I thought that was a great deep background for understanding really the context of what these so-called mutual obligations are and what... but it brings us on to the topic of, like, their deed.
Yeah.
You know, because they're... Because, I mean, that they've tried... They formalised it into this compulsion, which is managed by... How would you describe job network providers?
I don't know. They're like these private companies. They're like contracted by the government. They're paid all this money by the government. And they're given these sort of vague guidelines by the government. And but it is sort of like their job is to punish.
Yes.
And it's also a way to let the Commonwealth off the hook a bit. It's like, we're going to contract this out to the private sector and they can do the punishing for us.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's like if you want to actually speak directly to Centrelink, it's completely outsourced. I mean, you wait forever and you'll never get through to them. So clearly it's outsourcing their responsibilities.
Yeah, so they're not as culpable. Because like, you can get away with more also just legally in the private sector.
That's right. That's a really good explanation, I believe, from Pip, putting the a broader context, economic and political, to where we're in the situation we're in. But we've run out of time now, and I look forward to playing the rest of her interview. But this is the end of Breadline today, and I'll say farewell as our Eritrean Voice show will be coming up soon. Farewell, my friends, and talk to you soon.
Good. Bye. You know I hate to leave you, baby, but I'm leaving anyway. So long. You knew I'd have to leave you, baby, when you treated me this way. Don't cry. And if it's written for us, baby, maybe some old rainy day I'm gone. Perhaps you'll understand the reasons why you're driving me away. Farewell. Then maybe we can be together in the same old crazy way. Take care. And so long. Goodbye, my darling. I knew I was wrong when I thought that you could return the same love that I have all for you, dear. But you still didn't care enough to ever try to love me. Why didn't you love me? Why didn't you ever love me? Maybe you'll understand the reasons why you're letting me go when, oh, I love you so. gave you money, comfort too, loved you only, only you, dear. But you didn't care a thing about me. All you wanted was to have your fun without me. Oh, my darling, how could you hurt me so? Baby, when all I did was love you. Oh, what a terrible, terrible feeling. Now, baby, I'm quite awake. Dry your eyes and don't you cry because...
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.